I shall not. Look at the last word, want. Somebody say want. The word want means lack. So what he's really saying to me, what David is really saying, because Jesus is my shepherd, I won't need anything. How many of y'all want to get to a place that you know that Jesus got you so much that you don't need nothing in 2023?
Will they cry out to God and say, you are a burden lifter. God, you are my shepherd that I don't want for anything. God, you are the head. And I'm not the tail. You are the lifter up of my head. That's how you know and find out about
I heard the Lord say in my spirit, this is an unshakable house.
For to stand before you guys tonight, I give honor to Apostle Gregory in his absence, Apostle Junie. I thank God for you all. I thank God for you all. I thank you all. Y'all are my family. I love y'all. So y'all can be seated. Praise God. Really, really happy to be in the house of God tonight. I'm grateful for this opportunity. A lot of people have said, you know, they get the call and it's like 24 hours before. But you know what? I think we're getting a little bit better because, you know, I got the call and it was 25 hours. I got the text at 6 o'clock last night. Congratulations. Amen. but I'm gonna be here again, and I'm not going to be up here before y'all a long time. Amen. So if we could turn to St. John chapter 15. And Father God, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this moment that you've already breathed into this room, Father. So we thank you that you are opening. As we open our minds and our hearts, you are opening this word, this daily bread, this manna from heaven for us to receive, that we will be refreshed in our souls and in our spirit, man. We thank you, Father God, that this is word, this is meat that we will be able to carry, that will grow us and mature us in this faith as we journey along this walk with you, Jesus Christ, hand in hand. We give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Y'all got John 15? We gonna start with verse 1. And in the King James Version, it's gonna be up here. We gonna read it together. Amen. All right, 1, 2, 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Amen. And so y'all probably saw my title slide was, apart from me, you can do nothing. The me here in the text, of course, is Jesus. And just to give context, I like context when I'm studying, y'all. I got to know what was going on, who was talking, who he was talking to, all that good stuff. And usually to do that, this is just a pro tip. You should read maybe a chapter or two before and maybe a chapter or two after, just so you get the full picture of what's going on. So in the chapters before the text we just read, Jesus is having the Passover feast with his disciples, and we identify this particular Passover feast as the Last Supper, okay? Judas has been dismissed to go betray Jesus. The rest of the disciples are left there. And basically what they're doing in chapter 14, the chapter before, is listening to him preach his own funeral. And I find that ironic because that first verse of chapter 14 is let not your heart be troubled. We always preach that at funerals, right? And Jesus was talking about his own. Amen. And so a few key concepts, just as an intro to this, to the verses we read tonight, is that he's going to prepare a place for us, and he's going to come back and receive us. Even though he's going back to the Father, he's not leaving us abandoned. He's leaving us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, multi-purpose gift. He's here to comfort us, counsel us. He's here to empower us to do greater works. He said, greater works than these shall you do in that chapter. The last part of chapter 14 just talks about how he and God the Father are one. And a requirement for discipleship in Christ is to believe that they are one. They're not, you know, it's not one tier above the other. So to believe in God the Father is to believe in God the Son. And the requirement of our faith in God the Father and in God the Son and in God the Holy Spirit is measured by our commitment to keeping his commandments. I think it's like 5 or 6 times throughout chapter 14 that he says, keep my commandments, keep my commandments. And so that's what he was talking about before we got to our verse in 15:1. And so together now, we're just going to look at some truth in those 5 verses. And it's just some truth that stood out to me while I was studying this. And I'm praying that it will encourage us for where God is taking us as a body, as restoration of life. We're going to take a look at it verse by verse, okay? Verse 1 says, I am the true vine. Okay. The word true in this first verse, it appears before the word vine in almost every single translation of this verse. You can go through your whole entire Bible app, and in every verse, every translation that's in English, in that first verse, the word true comes before the vine. Okay. That's important. I'm going to tell y'all why. The Greek translation of the word true here is alithini. Say that. Alithini. Yeah, that sounds good. And it means real, genuine, or made of truth. Why is this important? Jesus uses this specific word, this specific adjective true, before the word vine to let us know that it is possible to be connected to a vine that's false. Okay? We can be connected to something that promises to be our source, to provide what we need, but in reality, it's just a counterfeit, right? And we know this to be true because in Luke chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 5, chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 5 through 7, we see Jesus being tempted of the devil after his 40-day fast in the wilderness, and Satan takes him up to a high mountain. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and he says, I'll give you all these kingdoms, all their glory, all their power, but you have to fall down and worship me, right? And I know, like, I don't know if this is y'all, but this is me. When reading that, I would be like, why would this man try to tempt Jesus with stuff that's already his? You know what I'm saying? Like, we know the scripture, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, all that, you know, the world that dwells there. So in my mind, I'm like, how you gonna try to get me with stuff that's already mine? But as I studied it, I realized that Satan actually did have some claim of ownership to the territory that he was offering Jesus. And we know this because at the end of chapter 14 of John, what we was just talking about, he calls Satan the prince or the ruler of this world, right? So to an extent, he had the ability to offer Jesus those things, the power, the influence, the different things that we even see being offered to mortal men, the power, the fame, the influence, all of that stuff he was offering to Jesus because he technically had a right to do so as a prince and a ruler in this world. But what he cannot offer is the truth, right? So my first point for the first verse is anything that offers connection or provision aside from the will of God and aside from God's absolute truth is a counterfeit vine. Look at somebody and say, check your connection. Check your vine. All right. We all in here connected to the true vine, right? All right. All right. All right. We're going to move to verse 2. So verse 2 read further down. It says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. Okay? The word purge, or some people's Bibles may say prune, is derived from the Greek word katharos. Say katharos. Uh-huh. It means to cleanse or to purify. And we know the word cleanse means to make clean or to make free from dirt, marks, stains, whatever. And of course, we love to pray that prayer. Oh, clean me up, Lord God. Just cleanse my heart. Make me free from, just clean me up, Jesus. We love it, right? We love how it sounds. But the word purify is a little deeper than to clean or to cleanse. The definition is to remove contaminants or to extract something from. And extract is not just, it's not like you just pulling out a chair from up underneath the table. It's not something that's easily removed. Ola, Deaconess Brittany, to everybody else, would you mind quickly Googling the word extract? I like a participating class. Amen. I'm going to run the mic over so she can read that out loud.
It says to draw forth as by research, to pull or take out forcibly.
Y'all heard that last word. To pull or take out forcibly. The definition that I saw said especially by effort or force. Does anybody get facials? Anybody in here like to get facials? I have a love-hate relationship with facials. I like facials because they feel really nice and they use these really high-quality products. They take such good care of your skin. You know, they use that little steamer on you and it like opens your pores up. But then they pull out that extraction tool. It don't feel good. They get down in them pores, they get the scraping and digging and pushing and all of that gunk. Anybody watch Dr. Pimple Popper? All that stuff just start coming to the top. And then after a facial, you know, once I'm done crying from them poking in my skin, I feel really good, I feel fresh, but then it never fails. Maybe a day later, sometimes even hours later, I start breaking out. And the first time I went and got a facial, I was like, now, wait a minute now. I done got gypped because I went over here for y'all to not make my face look like this. Well, I looked it up. When you get a facial, what it does is like an external detox. And after you get a facial, what it shows in your skin is everything that you've been putting inside, right? So all the Cokes I be drinking, all the Lay's potato chips, all the nights I be like, I could just splash some water on my face and wash it real good in the morning. All of that stuff starts coming to the surface after a real good cleansing. And that's exactly what God does to us. When the Bible says he purges the branches that bear fruit, he gets deep down into those crevices, into those places in our souls that we don't want to expose when we come in this beautiful yellow church. In those places that when we, how you doing? Hallelujah. I'm blessed and highly favored. No, he don't want that stuff. That surface stuff, he's like, if we're going to produce more fruit, he's got to get deep down in there. And so it's not a good feeling anymore when we start praying that clean me up Jesus prayer, but we should still be excited about it because what it means is if he's purging you and if he's pruning you, it means you're producing fruit. Because the Bible says the branches that produce fruit, those are the ones that's getting purged. So you should feel, even though it doesn't feel good, we should still find a source of gratitude to say, God, I thank you that you can trust me for that next level that this purging is requiring me to go to so that I can bear more fruit for the kingdom. Look at somebody and say, I'm doing the work. And I'm getting ready to bear more fruit. All right. All right, so we're going to go to verse 3, and verse 3 starts with, you are clean through the word. This one's pretty self-explanatory. We just kind of review that, you know, everybody who's bearing fruit, who's doing the will of God, they're going to experience a purging so that they can continue to bear more. And the word of God is the cleansing agent. It's that purifying agent that he uses to prepare us for more. And we know this because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it tells us that Jesus washes his bride, that is the church, with the water of the word, so that we may be presented to him without a spot or a blemish. Okay. Some of the versions, the one that I have doesn't say this, but many versions that you may read at home, sometimes they include the word already. So it says, it'll say you are already clean. And so what that tells us is that God's word, the more we have it in us, the higher cleansing potential we have. Right. And so what that means is that it doesn't usually take, the more word you have in you, the less extracting God has to do. Right. It won't take him pulling and prodding and constantly having to remind you and convince you. I brought you out the last time. Come on, get on up. Remember, I took you through it last time. Come on now. I helped you to endure it last time. You won't need all that extra encouragement. It won't take the hours of tarrying and sackcloths and ashes and all of this stuff to get to the place of purification. All we have to do is go to the word that's in us and say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Y'all know the word. I hear y'all. All right. So, yeah, look at somebody and say, I got the word in me. Yes, yes. Hey, y'all do. I heard y'all quoting that Psalm 51. All right now. So verse 4 says, abide in me. It starts with abide in me. Jesus, help me with this one. The word abide in the Greek here is menate. Say menate. All right. And it means to remain or to stay or to wait for. And so the scripture is saying here, for fruit to be produced in us, we must wait on the Lord. Okay, wait on his timing, wait on his instructions, serve well. Okay, when we're waiting, then when you think about a waiter, right? Their job is to serve, but their job is not only to serve, it's to serve well, right? The point is to make you feel like, it's to make you not feel like I could have just cooked me some food at home, right? They're giving you an experience. They're waiting on you. They have a patient spirit, a good attitude. You know, they're willing to kind of, it's going to take a little minute for me to figure out what I want. Not for God, but just in the sense of waiting, Lord, I don't see where it's going. I don't see which way. I thought you was going to go with this, but maybe we're going with this. But God, I'm waiting patiently on you. Look at somebody and say, I'm waiting for the Lord. And I got fruit on the way. We got fruit on the way. Amen. And so this brings us to our last verse, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm going to tell y'all a little story. Yesterday, around 6 o'clock p.m., I'm sitting in the crab place having a good old time popping crab legs and crawfish because yesterday was Mardi Gras also. And many of you may not know this, but I'm half New Orleanian. And so, you know, I couldn't be with my people, but I said, I'm going to have me my own little personal Mardi Gras. And so I'm sitting there at the crab place just having a time. And normally when I go there, what I like to do is I like to watch Christian podcasts. And so I was watching one of my favorite Christian podcasts, and they were talking about some of the dangers of celebrity within the church, how public speakers and pastors, they have to kind of walk a really careful line of still being personable, but not allowing people to dehumanize them and to objectify them, because when so many people see you, they can kind of get familiar with you and treat you like you're common. So they were talking about that, and, you know, they were talking about how, you know, on the converse of it is, some preachers get the big head and they let the celebrity kind of take them and then, you know, whatever. And so one of the podcasters was saying, you know, it's very important for us in ministry and public figures to remember that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Right. And so I'm sitting there eating my seafood and I said, yeah, that's good. I like that. That's right. She's teaching. And then I get a text from Elder Wakita. Congratulations. You have been called and appointed to teach the word of God on tomorrow. And so my food don't even taste good no more. I'm just like, okay, well, dang, all right, well. And it was kind of like a mild panic because a lot of people who know me know that I'm a bit of a planner. I like to kind of have a good notice in advance. Sister Kalia noticed about me. I like to have a nice plan in place. I like to have a good maybe 2-3 weeks to study and just kind of go and make sure, you know, Lord, is this what you want me to say? She said tomorrow. I said, okay, God. I don't know. And so I'm like, I don't know if I keep listening to my podcast. Do I turn it off and pray? Like, what do I do right now? And so I'm pondering in my mind, like, Lord, what am I supposed to say to these people? And I finally got to this place. I got in the car. I was leaving. And before I turned on the car to go home, I said, God, I can't do this without you. And that phrase that the podcaster said came back to my mind. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And Holy Spirit said, that's your message. And so I went home and I started studying it. And it blessed me so much as I was reading it. And I'm gonna read it for y'all in the message. Y'all know in the message, it kind of clusters verses together. So I'm going to read. This is John 15, verse 5 through 8. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. It encouraged me so much, but it encouraged me because I received it as a word of encouragement for this church, because more fruit is coming. We've already seen it over the past few months as we've been pressing in, as we've been, you know, staying dedicated to these prayer targets, as we've been, you know, seeing the different prayer requests get answered and people coming in here getting healed and dancing all across this altar in a boot and in cast. And we've had all these awesome testimonies and our numbers are increasing and our borders are expanding. It is happening for restoration. We are already producing all kind of good fruit and more fruit is coming, but it is going to require us to abide in Jesus. It requires us remaining in him, trusting in him, doing the work, believing even when it looks like nothing is happening, when it looks like nothing is moving forward, even in our own personal lives, when it seems like we take 2 steps forward and then 3 steps back. Continue to abide. That's what he's saying. Continue to abide. Check your hearts. Allow him to do that cleaning and that purging that's required of us to continue to go up and go to the next level. And wait well. Wait well. Serve well. As you wait, remember, though the vision tarry, wait for it. It shall surely come. It will not tarry. And so that's my message, y'all. I pray that it was encouraging to you all. It was encouraging to me. I thank y'all so much for your time and for your attention.
I heard the Lord say in my spirit, this is an unshakable house.